Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks. It's Easter Sunday, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. Glad you decided to join us today for this very special service. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's service.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can come in this place, and we can thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Lord, we believe right now, God, that you are about to change hearts and lives forever by the power of your anointing. God, we pray that God today will be a monumental experience in people's lives. Lord, as we celebrate your resurrection, as we celebrate how you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord, we ask you, God, that you will do incredible things, God, in our lives today, God, because we know you and because you are going to do incredible works in people's lives. God, my prayers today that your anointing will come in this place, and God, it will destroy the yokes of the bondages of sin in people's lives, because the Bible says that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. And God, my prayer today is, Lord, we will feel your presence here in such a way, God, that we will know that, God, you have come to meet us here, and we're going to celebrate you and celebrate your resurrection, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated if you can see. Okay. I'm glad to know at least one of, at least my son's ready to go this morning. Oh, man, what a great day. Aren't you always excited when Easter comes around? I'm holding this up so you can see me this morning. I don't want to be accused of making faces at you and you can't see me, you know. Because, you know, we used to laugh. The only time I can see you is when you're frowning at me. And today you can frown at me if you want to. I can't see you, so that's great. But you can see me, and I won't be frowning at you. I am excited to celebrate Easter in a little different way because I believe to gain perspective, you have to look at a story from all different sides. Do you understand? Sometimes when we read the Easter story, we are content to be happy with what happened at the tomb. But not all of Jesus' followers were at the tomb. Let's review the story just for a moment. I'm going to be paraphrasing from John chapter 20, but you kind of understand the story. It was early in the morning. It was dark. Right? How appropriate. It was dark. It was early in the morning. And the ladies who had begun the burial process of Jesus went back to finish what they'd started. They went at several costs to themselves. One of the costs to themselves was this. They knew that by going there, they could be arrested. How many of you know there was a guard at the tomb of Jesus? There was a guard there because they were worried that there was going to come a time when the disciples were going to sneak back to Jesus' tomb and they were going to steal his body so that the people could say he was resurrected. Because remember, that was the gist of the whole thing. The problem was, Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you kill me, because in 3 days I'm going to rise again. Right? Are you with me this morning? Don't fall asleep just because the lights are off. And now it's come to a time when the ladies feel like it's time to finish what they'd started. So what they do is they get all their materials together and they go to the tomb. And what do they find when they get to the tomb? He's not there. The stone has been rolled away. And they were worried about how they were going to get to roll the stone away in the first place. And the stone has been rolled away. The angels say he's alive. They all go run back to tell everybody else. And what do they find? And then Mary by herself sees Jesus. How awesome is that? The one who she put all of her faith in and confided in. So they went back and they told the disciples, he's risen. And they say, sure. Right. We don't believe you. It's a trap. Why did they think it was a trap? Well, they thought it was a trap because they were worried that they were going to get killed too. By this time, the disciples who had been with Jesus all this time were readily identifiable by the looks on their faces. Everyone knew who they were. So how do you know that? Because the lady at the campsite at the trial of Jesus recognized Peter as being one of those. Several people recognized Peter as being one of those, and they're running for their lives. They're hiding where? In the dark. They have trapped themselves inside a house
I want to just say for a moment, just for the sake of imagination, probably because they didn't want to flee the city, they went to the place that they had the only friends they knew about. That was at the place where they had the Last Supper. Can you imagine for a moment running back to the place where you just had the most memorable supper with Jesus they'd ever had? Why? Well, I told you last Sunday night, because they had Passover with Jesus, and Jesus went through the whole story about going, being rescued and being claimed by him, and they went, and you remember Jesus, I told you Sunday night, Jesus took the third cup of wine. There are four cups of wine that they take at Passover, and the third cup is the cup of redemption. How many of you are thankful that Jesus offered us the cup of redemption this morning? He took the cup of redemption and he drank it with his disciples and he told them, he said, I'm not going to drink another cup with you until we're all together in my Father's house. This is the covenant, this drink of redemption that you drank for so long, the drink of redemption that you thought was coming from the Messiah. Well, guess what? I'm here. He said, this is the cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. Well, they probably thought that was kind of weird, but now they're back at the house. Wherever they've run from, they've all run to a safe location where they can hide. And now they're at the house. Can you imagine the thoughts running through their mind? First thing I think they did is they boarded up all the windows. If you're hiding from the cops, you don't want them to be able to see in your house. You want to hide. I believe they boarded up the windows. They were trying to lock themselves up tight. And board it up good because they don't want anybody coming in. They want to be kept away. They're hiding for their lives. I can imagine as they sit down around the table, a few things bring back to their remembrance. One of the things I think that brought back to the remembrance is the bread. The bread they had. Do you know how many times Jesus used bread over and over and over again to illustrate who he was and the power he had? We've been talking about it lately. Jesus told the woman, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. And I told you a couple Sundays ago when he got in the boat with the disciples and they said they only had one loaf, guess what? He fed them too. The bread symbolized everything that Jesus was as their supplier, everything that Jesus was as the person that brought them everything they had need of. And now instead of seeing the bread, they're seeing that when he took the bread, he broke it into pieces and said, what? This is my body. Do you think at any moment in time when they saw him breaking the bread that night, having the Last Supper, that they knew that later on that night he would be beaten and flogged? Do you think that any one given time as he was breaking the bread that night that they thought that he was going to be beaten and bruised and stripes laid across his back? We know Isaiah did, because Isaiah saw and what we could not see through prophecy and said, but he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and what? By his stripes we are healed. But they didn't see that in the bread. All they saw was their supply, and now Jesus is dead and their supply is gone. In fact, I bet they were complaining they weren't going to get any more bread because their supply was gone. The person who had brought them life, sustaining life over and over and over again, is now missing. He's gone. He's left. That Jesus is dead. When they look at the bread, all they can think about is his bruised body. When they look at the bread, all they can think about is the crown of thorns on his head. When they look at the bread, all they can think about is the gross, misshapen part of his back where they beat him 39 times with a cat of nine tails. They beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him. If it wasn't bad enough, there was the cup. Well, this was supposed to be a good memory. This is supposed to be one of those memories that just allows you to enjoy the fact that I have been redeemed. And yet now when they look at it and they listen, reminded of his words, this is my blood, all they can think about is the blood that poured down his face. All they can think about is the blood that poured down his back. All they can think about is that hideous moment when they laid him flat on the cross and nailed his hands and feet. And the blood flowed, and they're looking at the cup, and he's saying, "This is my blood," and I can just see them backing up from it. Just in utter horror of the fact they just saw every ounce of blood from his body be poured out like an offering. Here he is, he's sitting there. And if it wasn't bad enough from the crown of thorns, if it wasn't bad enough from Jesus' back, if it wasn't bad enough from his hands and feet, they burst his side, and the Bible says that blood and water flowed. It wasn't enough that he bleed, it was enough that he gave every ounce of blood for you and me. But they're looking at that, and they're hiding in the dark. When the ladies come and they say, "Jesus is risen," I'm sure the utter depression that was flowing through their minds just overwhelmed them into a point of disbelief. Why would they believe them? Irrational, emotional women? You're just sniffing all those fumes from the perfume. Surely he can't be alive. We saw him die. Peter and John race to the tomb, and what do they find? They find that he is not there. You know what I love when they find the linen that wrapped his face? I love the fact that they found it folded up. As if to say, Jesus took the time to say, "I don't need this anymore. I'm folding it up." Now they run back and they're all meeting back in the room that's boarded up. And I'm not going to tell you it was anything fancy. I'm not going to tell you that angels sounded like they did at his birth. But the Bible says that in a moment when they were at their absolute most despondent, they were curious as to what had happened. They were emotionally terrified. Jesus shows up in the room. Can you imagine? And it didn't have to be one of these flooding, just spotlight on Jesus. We always have this image of Jesus walking into the room where the disciples are at, and this angels everywhere, oh, spotlight, Jesus is here. I don't think so. I think when Jesus came in the room that day, he came in the room just like they walked into the room. He walked into that room and he said, "Listen, it's me, don't be afraid." Well, of course they're afraid. They just saw him dead. He said, "Don't be afraid." See, all the disciples in the back of their minds had been living in was a state of fear. I want you to know, God did not create you and me to live in a state of fear. God did not create you and I to live in a perpetual state of absolute terror, to which we always try to hide from the world, and we always try to hide from the things that we don't understand and we can't explain. Jesus came into that room that day to set them free from the fear of living for him. It wasn't too long after that, they don't have any more fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And I want you to understand something very clearly this morning. Jesus did not die and raise again for you and I to live in a state of fear. Sure, this world may be not going our way. Sure, laws may be being passed all the time which distorts and destroys the Word of God, tries to anyway. How many of you know the Word of God will never pass away? The flowers will fade, the grass will wither, but the Word of God will last forever. They may try to do whatever they can, but sometimes it's going to have to come a time when the church stops living in fear of being a child of God. These disciples, they're trapped in this room. They're locked away. They're in depression. They're looking at the bread. They're thinking about the cup. And they're thinking, all life has been destroyed. I mean, you think about it. Do you remember the Old Testament purpose of covenant? The covenant lasted as long as the people that made the covenant were alive. That's why when we do weddings today, we say, "Till death do us part." Because at that moment, death breaks the covenant. So they just made this covenant with Jesus just the other night, and all of a sudden now the covenant's broken, right? No! The covenant's not broken. Why? Because Jesus is alive. When he walked into that room, he said, "Listen," he said, "everything that you thought was destroyed is not destroyed. Every covenant I made is still good. Every promise I made is still good. And I'm still your provider. I'm still here for you. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't have to be afraid of who's going to say what about the way you live. Don't be in fear anymore. Don't be afraid. God did not call us to be afraid. And I want you to know something that's absolutely true. When the Bible says that God called us out of darkness into light, He meant it. We don't have to hide in the dark. We don't have to be afraid. I want you to know, if I'd have been one of those disciples, I'd tell you exactly what I would have done. As soon as I heard that Jesus was alive, I'd have raced right to the windows. And you know what I would have done? I would have said, God has called me to live in light. Do you know that right now so many people have been living in fear of what people say about them or what people think about them or what people do around them that they don't tell anybody that they have Jesus Christ? And I'm telling you this morning, God does not want you to live in fear anymore. You don't have to be afraid. He's alive. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All that rise up against you will fall. Do you understand? When God is on your side, nobody can be against you. Nobody can win against you. When the disciples came in and they saw the light, He came into their presence. He came into their lives to say, look, I'm alive. Nothing's changed. I'm still God. I can still do miracles. I can still do all the things I did before. And now not only have I died, but I've rose again and I fulfilled every part of what I came to do. Now it's up to us not to live in fear anymore. It's up to us not to be afraid to be who God called us to be. It's up to us to say, look, He did all this stuff for us. He did all this for you and me. He said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So receive the Holy Spirit. If anyone has sinned, forgive them. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Listen, He came to complete what He started, and He did it. Now, are we going to complete what God has started in us? Are we going to have the courage and the conviction to say, if God did all this for us, if Jesus suffered the way He suffered for us, how can we go back to living in darkness? Because the truth of the matter is, whether we admit it or not, or whether we know it or not, many people will come today and they'll leave tomorrow and they'll leave the same way they came in. People always want to go back to the comfortable way of living because they think they're safe. You know, it was only a matter of time before the disciples were going to all die. How many of you know that? I don't know if you realize this, but eventually every one of the disciples who were in that room that day would eventually die. But they died without fear. So you can go back to the life that you've been living and still live in fear. Or you can go back to the life you're living and still be afraid. Either way, you're going to die. But God did not call you to live in fear. He didn't call you to live in darkness. He called you to live in light. He called you to be an example, a shining light in darkness. You know how quick this room filled up with light when those panels were gone? Because there's nothing to block it out anymore. The world needs to see you and I living for Jesus. The world needs to see the hope that we have, if you have it, of course. The world needs to see the hope that you have. And every time we hide, and every time we live in fear, and every time We keep the knowledge of what we know about Jesus from people, all we're doing is we're keeping them in the dark. And today I want you to know, you don't need to be in the dark. God's called you to the light. I want you to bow your heads right now.
So glad you watched the service today, but we'd really rather see you in person. Service times are at 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7 p.m. Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Route 5. Across from Everyday Inn in Bells Falls. You can also visit our website, www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.